Late sonogram for Allie, Amy, Annie, Ellie, Erica, Henry, Katie, Lucy, Maddie, Tessa, and Zaria. I bled through the first months of every pregnancy. I have been bleeding for weeks. I am bleeding even now, and I have ruined at least 15 pairs of underwear. Poet M says no one wants to read about my underwear, especially not in the first stanza. She said nothing about the second, though, or where in the poem the poet should introduce the subject of her underwear if she's going to write about it. Poet A didn't mind underwear in the first stanza, but it was only my first draft, and maybe he was afraid to say anything. The nurse draws blood and checks my vitals, which are mostly normal. Blood pressure elevated, per usual. I tell her there's not enough triple ply on the eastern shore to staunch my flow, that I've cleared the aisles of every store within 50 miles. I tell her it's unlikely, although possible, I could be pregnant, but at my age, the question of age begins to sound accusatory. You're how old? What do you use for birth control? Do you need birth control? What she really means, at 47, you are too old to have another baby. Later, I tell the doctor, who looks 15, that I have an IED. No, I mean an IUD. I get them confused all the time, ever since I started writing poems about my former student, who nearly died when an IED blew up under his foot. Right now, my uterus feels like it is going to explode. Speaking of explosions, I took some students to an abortion rally this week in Annapolis, and I couldn't stop staring at the parking garage behind the speakers and all that dark open space between the pillars, where anyone could hide with a gun and snipe us. I promised their parents we would be safe. How can anyone promise that? The ice cream truck turned anti-abortion Jesus mobile that we'd seen earlier never showed up with its megaphone. I'm not sure, but I think there was a suspicious and possibly explosive device in the cemetery, and that the bomb squad was called. I heard the sirens. But no one looked too worried, and we walked right past the cemetery and police officers on the way back to my car. Then again, no one in the mall last summer looked all that worried either when the newspaper shooting was happening across the street. People were still eating outside at California Pizza Kitchen as the office building was being evacuated. I remember it was a nice day, blue sky, not too hot for the end of June. I thought about advising my students to scatter and run in zigzags if anything happened, but I didn't, and nothing awful happened, and then we ate pancakes and everyone got home safely. No blood. Isn't that the barometer these days? When the boys were toddlers and went outside to play their hunting game, one was the hunter, the other was the deer, who, when shot with a stick, would have to collapse on the ground, legs and arms sprawled, tongue sticking out, eyes rolling. I would tell them, "I don't want to hear it from you unless there is blood." The doctor asks me to scoot down and spread my legs. Wider. "You're going to feel something cold," he says, inserting the wand. I try to focus on the flowers that are blooming in the creases of my elbows. The nurse had a hard time finding a good vein. On the screen, nothing is showing. No tangled, fisted orb. No inexplicable mass. Just my empty sack, cloud-swept. Cloud-swept is my attempt at lyric expression. I wanted this poem to be shorter, snappier, but I can't help it. In workshop, the poet E once told me I tend toward the discursive. "We all have our own natural tendencies," she said. The key is to temper those impulses like the Greeks did with tragedy. It's the old tension between the Apollonian and the Dionysian. Order versus chaos. The balance between them. What to leave in? What you can live without.